Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey, and welcome to Easter Thursday. Easter Thursday. It's all Easter. All the grace is there. Please pay attention to the readings of this week. There's so many things that you can apply to your lives, but ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to pay attention to? How do you want me to open my life to you? What do you want to change in my life? It's not a self-help, but it's a willingness and humility to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I see the power of your grace at work in your disciples in all the scripture readings this week. I see your work. Lord, I want to be more your disciple. I want to follow you. Please ask God to give you the grace to come to that place. Ask God to give you the grace that he be first in your life. That no matter what you do, no matter what you're responsible for, that your first commitment is as a son or daughter to be a disciple, a child of Jesus, child of the Father, child of the Father, a servant with Jesus for the sake of the world. Brothers and sisters, one day, if you're faithful to this, one day you're going to see the millions upon millions of lives that were saved because you were faithful. Many things we don't see in this life, but we have no idea of the ripple effect of our good acts, our converted way of thinking and acting. We have no idea of the power and the influence that that has on the lives of other people, and we won't know until eternity. But for heaven's sakes, for the sake of heaven, please open your heart to all the grace that God wants to give you, that you might truly be his son or daughter, that you might truly be his disciple, that your life can make a difference in the world. And it honestly can. God doesn't look at your weakness. He looks at your willingness. That's all he needs. That's all he needs is your willingness. First reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 11 to 26. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, remember the man we read it earlier in this week, he'd been crippled since birth. As the crippled man who had been cured clung to Peter and John, all the people hurried in amazement toward them in the portico called Solomon's Portico. And when Peter saw this, he addressed the people. He took advantage of the time and he said, "You children of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you look so intently at us as if we had made him walk by our own power or our piety? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. And by faith in his name, this man whom you see and know, his name has made strong. And the faith that comes through it has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore. Be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, and that the Lord may grant you times of refreshment, and send you the Christ already appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the times of universal restoration, of which God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. For Moses said, 'A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from among your own kin. To him you shall listen in all that he may say to you. Everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be cut off from the people.' Moreover, all the prophets who spoke from Samuel and those afterwards also announced these days, 'You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors when he said to Abraham, "In your offspring all the families of the earth shall be blessed." For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. Read that out loud to yourself. That's for you. Peter's preaching to you too. He's asking you to come and to follow him. Not to follow Peter, but to follow his Lord. Don't just say, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. No. No, having your body someplace doesn't make you necessarily holy. What makes you holy is your decisions to choose his will over your own, to put your relationship that you have with him, to put it at first priority of your day. Not just of a week or a month, but of your day, every day. If you do, the blessings are enormous, infinite, actually. But it does ask of you a shift. And again, I want you to notice too here, do you see how Peter's standing up and speaking? This is the one who denied him. God forgives. And no matter what sin you've committed, God will forgive if you repent. And he can turn your life around totally. Psalm 8, O Lord our God, how wonderful your name in all the earth. How wonderful your name in all the earth. Do you know that? Do you know the power of his name? Have you witnessed it? Have you experienced it? Have you encountered the living God? God wants you to, but it takes a decision on your part. And it takes asking God for the grace of perseverance on your part and the grace of repentance. You ask for those things daily and live it out, and a year from now, you're going to be a very different person. But you've got to respond to grace. You've got to be faithful to asking God for that grace and saying yes to him and repenting when you fail. You do, your life will change. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 35 to 48. The disciples of Jesus recounted what had taken place along the way and how they had come to recognize him in the breaking of bread. These are the disciples on the road to Emmaus again. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" What a wonderful thing. He's proving to them that he's real. And they gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and he ate it in front of them. So they know he's not a ghost. And they can see the wounds on his hands and his feet, wounds from which no one else would have recovered. But there are the wounds, and he has recovered. Can you watch the process in their minds of assimilating all this, coming to conclusions about all this? "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." That the call to repentance and that forgiveness of sin would be preached throughout the world. Brothers and sisters, take advantage. Receive, ask for, repent, and know how utterly marvelous are his gifts, his reconciliation with us, his restoration of us. Father Jacques Philippe writes this on peace, and I want to share it with you because it's the peace that comes when we do what I just described. Repent, go to the Lord, confess our sins, and then begin to take on the principles of the gospel as a new way of life, coming to Him when you fail. He will restore. He will forgive. Coming to Him. Brothers and sisters, believe me, your life will be happy. Father Jacques speaks about it in terms of peace. He says the quest for interior peace is much more than the search for peace of mind. It really is about something else. That is opening ourselves up to God's actions. It's important to understand a simple but spiritually important truth. The more we reach out toward peace, the more the grace of God is capable of acting in our lives. Like a tranquil lake perfectly reflects the sun, so is a peaceful heart receptive. So is a peaceful heart receptive to the action and movement of the Spirit. The devil is ever solicitous to banish peace from your mind, knowing well that God only dwells there in peace, and that it is in peace that he works his wonders. St. Francis de Sales said the same thing to one of his followers in a letter of spiritual direction, urging her to keep a tranquil heart. Only a peaceful heart is capable of truly loving. Remaining calm in the face of trouble, uneasiness, and interior disturbances is necessary in order for God to act in our lives. We can still grow in love. Our lives can have the fruitfulness we are called to have if we can accomplish this inward peace. And I don't know about you, but that's hard. Being at peace when you're struggling is very much at heart. It's very hard. But if you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how to come to peace so that I can hear your voice. I don't know how to come to peace. I don't know how to receive that gift. Will you help me? Because I'm in turmoil. I'm restless. I'm impatient. I'm frustrated. I'm frightened. And there's no peace there. And God wants us to know peace, brothers and sisters. He wants us to know it. Because peace is himself. Peace is not a thing. Peace is not an attitude. Peace is a gift. And it's the gift of God himself. And he wants us, even in the midst of our labors and our difficulties and our challenges and sin that needs to be repented for, there is under all that turmoil, there is a peace. There can be a peace of knowing that God created me, that God loves me, that God died for me upon the cross. God died for me upon the cross, that I might live in peace, even in the midst of struggling through the difficulties of life. There is an inward peace that I am not alone, that I am loved, that I am supported. God wants us to know that peace. May you experience it in this Easter season when Christ is risen from the dead. May you know his peace. God bless you. To order my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, call 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Where you can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.